And just open your Bible again at John chapter 1, page 748, if you're using one of the church Bibles. I've still got this parcel to unwrap, but I'll do that in due course. Just for a moment, I want you to come away with me in your imagination, away from today. Not because today isn't brilliant, but because I think it will help us understand today. Back not just to last year, or to 10 years ago, or to 50 years ago, or to 100 years ago. I want you to come back in your imagination, thousands, maybe millions of years, all the way back into eternity past. And there's only one person there, and it's God. And God tells us that He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or what this passage calls God the Son, here in John chapter 1, calls Him the Word. See it there in verse 1? It says, in the beginning, in other words, before anything else, in the beginning, back in eternity past, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He, so the Word is a He, was with God in the beginning. Just stop and think about that for a moment. We use words all the time, don't we? We say we're talking and we use words and we talk about words and we say speak up. But actually the word here is a massive concept. It means the idea. It means the concept. It means the logic. It's the final thing to say. And that word is a He, according to John chapter 1. It's a really big kind of mind-blowing idea. And you can tell that there is a huge amount wrapped up in Him because of what He does. Look at verse 3. Through Him, the Word, all things were made. And without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Verse 4, in Him was life, and that life was the life of men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood or could be overcome it. Listen, we've got to get rid of the notion that on the first Christmas, Jesus, God the Son, started at Bethlehem. He didn't. He was God from eternity past, co-equal, but independent from the Father. A person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Word is God the Son. He didn't even start in the womb of His mother Mary. He didn't, from eternity past, God the Son has always been. And He, the Lord Jesus, according to this passage, is the person of God, of the person of the Trinity, who made everything that we see. So the stars were His idea. Just imagine that. When you look up on a dark night, that was Jesus' idea. The moon was His idea. It's Jesus' idea. The oceans are His idea. If you're a sailor, then you're enjoying Jesus' idea. If you're a mountain climber, you're enjoying Jesus' idea. Through Him, all things were made. In fact, our very lives are in Him, says this passage, whether we're aware of it or not. And though the world around us may at times seem very dark, and remember, darkness is the absence of light. It's not the presence of darkness. It's the absence of light. What this says is that He is the light of life, the light of men, and He shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't understood Him, meaning they're overcome Him. He is never overcome by darkness, no matter how dark it is. That is, He is never extinguished. But what's so amazing about Christmas is that He came, the one who made everything, the one who had all these ideas, He came here. And He came with great fanfare. We've sung about that already. But you'd expect it to be a great fanfare for one so great. We've been singing about angel choirs above the shepherds. Well, it's not a great surprise, is it? You'd expect a great big fanfare for one who was like that to come. And we've heard, we know all about the Magi, or wise men, coming from the east to follow the star. Well, no wonder there was a star. It was all his idea in the first place. But there is also a great deal said about a special messenger who preceded him. Look there in verse 6. It's a funny old thing that John starts his gospel with such great drama about the Word and in him was life. And then he goes on to this messenger. Look at verse 6. He says, "There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light." Imagine a summer's morning for a minute, and you first wake up, and I don't know about you, but most people I know don't like lights on immediately they wake up. They kind of particularly, this morning, some of the bleary-eyed parents that got to bed quite late. And you know what it's like. I know it's not a summer's morning, but just follow the idea through. You hear the alarm and you fumble and you switch it off. And most people in our house are like this first thing in the morning. There's one of my sons doesn't do that, funnily enough. But anyway, there's the rest of us, the normal ones. And you're kind of a little bit bleary-eyed. And then gradually you kind of... If you walk into a room and suddenly switch the light on and everybody's... What happens? You kind of get this, whoa, horrible, and I can't see because I'm blinded by the light. Well, here is John the Baptist. That's who it was. We like when we wake up just a little brightness, not too much, because it can hurt to open our eyes to get ready for the day. And when eventually it's ready for the day, John's job, according to John the Baptist's job, according to John's gospel here, was to start to get people ready for the real light. He is, if you like the sun peeping through the curtain, pointing out that the day is coming and you need to get ready. And as he preached, this John the Baptist fella, he preached and he told people that they're in darkness, that is, that they're sinners, that they've rejected God, that they need to turn, that they need to stop rejecting God and they need to start embracing him because the light is coming. And all because, just follow me back to that summer's morning, ready to open the curtains, bang! What happens if your house is facing east? The curtains are full back and bright sunshine fills the room. Look at verse 9, that's what's being described here. John came to prepare people ready, the sun peeping through the curtains. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The light both illuminates us and shows what we're like and illuminates and shows us the way to go. He was coming, the one through whom everything was made in the first place, the Word. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Here is the one in whom all life is bound up, but people didn't want to know. And indeed, here is the one in whom all life is bound up, and sadly, people still don't want to know. All across our country today, there will be people celebrating Christmas, and that is fantastic. But of course, time and again, you hear people kind of moaning and saying, yeah, I kind of do the Christmas thing, but I'm not into Jesus. Well, it's a contradiction in terms. Christmas means celebration of Christ. People still don't want to know, though they want the benefit. But this Christmas morning, as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, there is great news. Verse 12. And the great news is this. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, nor husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of Christ is shown in the fact that he's the Word, the one who made everything, the one who sustains everything. And when you open the Bible and you read what he says and what he teaches and what he did, suddenly you're struck that the God of glory has come here to rescue you and me. On this day, we, all of us, all of our culture, are celebrating the greatest gift ever. Whether we like it or not, that is what's going on. God has stepped into humanity. But it wasn't that he just came as an exercise in theology, or as an example, or just to make a fuss, as a great teacher. He came as a rescuer. Look at verse 14 there. He was full of what John here calls grace and truth. Grace is when God gives us something lovely that we don't deserve. That's what grace is. And truth is an absolute fact that doesn't change, that both shows us the right way to go and will not change no matter what happens around it. We live in a culture that is constantly changing, where grace is a lovely idea that most people don't exhibit, and they kind of admire Jesus for doing it, but hey, don't get it. And truth, well, truth for most people these days is up for grabs. And though most of us would never admit to like being liars, and our politicians and leaders certainly don't like being liars, the idea that that there is a God in the Bible who never, ever, ever changes his mind, well, that's just ridiculous, isn't it? So our politicians would say. You can't believe the Bible anymore. Hey, Jesus was the embodiment of God's generosity to us and his unchanging truth. You can rely on him even when everything else doesn't seem quite right. He is the rock that does not change. Jesus came as God's greatest gift to rescue you and me by giving us the truth of God on our own state before him and the grace of God that we don't deserve in forgiving us. I said I had a present I was going to unwrap. I'm not very good at wrapping, as my family will testify, and this is a perfect example of why I'm not very good at wrapping. But just follow this through with me, will you? Here is a present, and it looks like, well, if it were wrapped a bit better, more neatly, it would look like just like any other Christmas present. But will you understand with me that the greatest Christmas present that there is, actually, the greatest Christmas present that there is, kind of works like this, that when you undo it, what you find it's not very neat, but the original wasn't very neat either. When you unwrap the greatest Christmas present, what you find is that a cross on which the Savior died. He was born, you see, not just to be a nice, cozy baby in a stable. He was born to die as a rescuer, to give us God's grace, and to show us God's truth. All the times in which we have let God down, the Bible says, were taken on him on that day as he died on the cross. This baby was born to die. And here's the great news, you see. He rose again from the dead, and in receiving him, says our passage, your status and mine, it changes. To those who received him, he gave the right, the ticket to become children of God. If you will receive him, then you become not just a part of God's creation, but a member of his family. You can call God your father. No matter what you think of the concept of father, you can call God your father if you'll receive him. With all that implies of both belonging and, can I say, of behavior. When you've received him, you become a member of his family, with all the privileges and responsibilities that carries. So this Christmas day, boys and girls and grown-ups too, as we enjoy the food and the fun and the presents, will you please remember with me and from the Bible that the word, the idea, the concept, the understanding, the word, God the Son became flesh to rescue you and me. And you can ask him to rescue you. You can receive him for yourself. And if you have already, then you can live in the privilege of being a member of God's family, both today and going on.